Welcome to the Futile Podcast. Tonight we're going to talk about Star Trek, the new Star Trek film, Star Trek 11, made by J.J. Abrams and his team, all the guys from Lost. It sounds like Lost.
Is that any Star Trek movies?
Yeah. There were six of them, and then they made four Next Generation movies.
I don't recall that.
Nope.
I think I remember like three. Sure you're not miscounting?
Pretty sure.
Laptop.
Name them all in order.
The motion picture, The Wrath of Khan.
Okay.
Search for Spock.
Search for more money.
The Voyage Home. The Final Frontier. The Undiscovered Country. Generations. First Contact. Insurrection. And then the last one that I don't remember the name of. I'm blanking on the name of the last one.
Then this one.
Failure.
Yeah. And then this one, which is just called Star Trek. Part one, the episode of...
The prequel.
Yeah.
It's not a prequel anymore. Now it's its own thing.
It's its own thing. It created its own thing. It freed itself from the fanboys.
It freed itself, so now no one can really bitch too much because they go, hey, you know what? That was your Star Trek. This is mine.
Star Trek for everybody.
This ain't your father's Star Trek.
I like the part at the end when... Not a major spoiler, but I guess...
Screw spoiler free, man.
Yeah, okay, guys. If you haven't seen it, you can go see it. And if you don't care enough, then it's really not that big a deal. It's a spectacle movie, so you'll see it to see the spectacle. The plot has some major problems, as most Star Trek movies actually do in terms of their plot, except for the second one, which is just a simple idea. But this one, anything that's got time travel in it always has, like...
But that's also an excuse for why it's not plot holes, because you can just explain it away.
But you can also explain away, like, well, why didn't they just do that 25 years ago?
I'll tell you the dumbest thing about the movie.
Okay.
This is spoiler alert stuff, so...
Spoiler alert? I already laid it down.
Just turn off this podcast if you don't want
to
hear it.
Or fast forward to the other spoilers.
Just turn it off. Erase it from your subscription list. Just to do that if you don't want to hear this. The part where, at the end... new Spock meets
old Spock.
Spock 2.
Yeah.
And or Spock 1 meets Spock 2 and he goes
Spock Alpha meets
and he goes,
Spock A.
He goes, "Hey man, what's up?" And he's like, "Hey, I'm Spock." And he goes, "Yeah, sweet." And then he goes, "You know, you could have just you could have told me that thing and then we wouldn't have had all those problems." He's like, "Oh, I wanted you guys to be buddies."
Yeah.
like you risk the lives of every single person involved in the movie just to make sure that they become buddies.
Pretty much.
Yeah, because they have crazy
super
adventures.
Gay. That's super gay. You're going to have some crazy times with this guy. He's psycho.
Wait a minute, though. They still would have had to do everything the same way.
But they would have just failed and died. Either way, probably. I mean, the odds of this happening was 4 point something something.
4.3.
And,
don't ever tell
and Jim's like, whatever, man. It'll work just fine.
Yeah.
Not a big deal.
Not a big deal.
And he's like, all right, I'll trust your terrible judgment, I guess.
Yeah.
But it just seems like they could have... You know, since it's a new universe anyway, or a new dimension, or alternate reality, then...
it's another timeline, basically.
Another timeline. Then, why would it matter if they weren't friends? It wouldn't affect him at all.
That's true.
He's got all those memories, though.
His memories are his own, from his own timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he wants it to be... He wants him to have a kick-ass time in the other spot.
He wants the adventures to be unbound.
That was what I felt the only real major fault of the thing was. Otherwise, I found it very entertaining and well shot and well...
There's a lot of lasers.
Well,
lasers.
Choreographed.
No, it looked okay. It looked good. It had some excitement, and it had some adventure.
And a lot of lens flare, which I like.
Yeah, it had a lot of lens flare.
I like that.
It reminded me of Tango and Cash.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. I actually do like that.
I like when things remind me of Tango and Cash.
The whole movie reminded me of Tango and Cash. It was kind of like Spock and Kirk were like Tango and Cash. And they didn't want to get... But in the end, they high-fived and it freeze-framed.
Right.
And it went... da-na-na-na-na-na. And it felt like an episode of Lost.
Jack Palance was... What if Jack Palance was that guy? Oh, he's dead now.
Yeah.
Gosh, dang it. He never got the chance to get a bad guy.
Corpse.
Eric Bana is the new Jack Palance.
Yeah. He was just kind of there.
Yeah, he was. The bad guys in Star Trek are usually
just
there.
A growling guy who's there.
If it's ever a person, it usually is something like that. Like, they just got a giant ship and they're like, oh, I'm crazy with revenge. And
that's why they need to bring Q back into it.
He was never the bad guy even, though.
But he sets up terrible things.
Yeah.
And then Picard had to argue with him, like, please, man, if I tell you I was wrong, will you save us all?
That's
he's
such,
like, fine.
That was always such a great, like, spectacle, too. It was just, like, him, Picard, arguing, like, philosophical,
yeah.
Stuff. It wasn't.
And generally, Picard had to kowtow to to make him pander to his ego to make him realize that he should let all these people live so he can play with them again next year, season,
or whatever the ratings were bottoming out again.
Ratings were bottoming out. Bring in Q
with the Borg in tow.
Yeah, I brought the Borg. Hey, look who it is, everybody! It's Q, and he's got the Borg with him.
Indeed.
And the audience laughs and claps.
Indeed, like they did at the end of this movie.
Right.
Where some of them clap.
Like that. Yeah, you know, there was a guy sitting to the right of me. Who every like 15 minutes kept going like this.
What?
Here he goes. he did that when you first see Kirk. What? Me? he did that when you first see the Enterprise. Uh-huh. He did that when Kirk first meets Spock. He did it when you first see Scotty.
Uh-huh.
He did it when you first see Chekhov. He did it. I think he did it as the credits were about to roll.
Here he had a lot invested in these.
Here come those credits, baby. Credit me up.
Gosh. Did he have like some jergens or was he just...
He was just gleefully rubbing his hands together.
Okay. Well.
And he was the one telling a delightful child-friendly story about titties before the movie started.
That's right. I remember that.
Very loudly. Like it was one of those quiet moments where everyone in the theater stops talking at the same time. Like by chance. And this guy's like, yeah, there's titties and titties were pressed into things and was making a titty press to his friend. Which to which I think he responded by rubbing his hands.
Of course. When in Rome, or when in Romulus, which has been destroyed in the future that Eric Bana comes from.
Sure.
So why don't they just go back in time and fix it?
That's exactly, once you do, well, the thing is they don't have time travel.
They don't have time travel. It was an accident.
It was a happy accident. You'd think that if they realized, hey, one of these black holes we create just gives us time travel, they would do
that. You know
what's
one of the dumbest things that I know they'll do? Eventually they'll find a way to do time travel in one of these series. And then they'll go back to Spock, who's on his colony world and he's 100 years old or whatever. And he's like, and they're like, Spock, we found a way that you can go back and change everything. It'll all be good. And he'll be like, nah.
Yeah,
and we're tired.
Like, because they do that as a plot device. Like, no.
No, yeah, thanks. It's always like the way things unfolded for a reason, you know,
and all that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Just think how many times that guy can
That would, I mean, you know, we'll see in the next movie if they make another one. I don't know if they're going to make another one.
It would just be a general adventure movie.
Big
money, man.
Well, we'll see.
I think they should do a trilogy of time travel things. And then each time, so you bring Kirk back, even though he died in one of them, right?
He died in Generations. They already brought him back in the books. So if they hold to canon, I don't know if the books are canon. But like,
how did he come back in the books?
The Borg resurrected him.
Like,
no, the Borg resurrected his body. They actually went and got his physical body and resurrected him
using Borg technology.
Yes, and it stayed out because he.
Are we
going to
talk about the movie?
Okay, basically,
said that it was great.
It
was good.
They pander to the original series fans by basically saying, "Hey, this is just an alternate reality, but the other stuff still counts. So we're not." Saying anything bad about it.
I think all that worked for it, for the story.
It did, because it let them do what they wanted.
I think also that it was totally gutless.
It was gutless.
It was utterly gutless.
Yeah, it was. I agree. I would have just preferred to see like them just be like, boom, we're doing a new Star Trek. And this is these are characters that you kind of know, but we're going to do our own thing with them. Which they still did, but then they came up with a justification. Like, oh, the reason that Kirk's dad is dead.
I understand why they had to do it.
What they did that so that then no fans could be like, well, actually, you see, James Kirk's dad is not dead.
Well, that's exactly why they did it. It's a huge franchise that's all-encompassing, and you can't call it that name unless it has something to do with the universe. So that's,
and the reason they do that is, I guess, to draw them in.
They had to do it. It would have taken too long and been way too convoluted if they had explained it otherwise. So that's pretty much the simple way to do it. They had to do it, I understand. But, you know, at the same time, it feels like it was inauthentic.
It sort of does. I agree. One of my problems with it is just that there was... They had to show parts. I guess they chose to show things in, like Kirk's life and stuff. And there was these giant gaps. And there could have been more interesting stuff going on between them. But it kind of felt like you missed all the character stuff.
Well, which gaps in Kirk's life?
Well, I would have liked to see some of the stuff when he was actually at the Academy, I guess. Because it was kind of like, instead they go from him being a kid that's a punk, and then they cut to him being a drunk,
right,
like 25 years later. And it's like, meanwhile, it's like, oh, you've taken all these tests, and you could be all this great. And then, when you come on, like, he hasn't heard that a million times, and this time is the one time it turns around for him. So he goes and he does it.
Well, turns around because the guy invokes the holy name of his father.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. And then it's like 3 years later.
Right.
Now you're good to go.
So you would have liked to, you wish the whole movie was about the 3 years and when he was taking
not necessarily,
exams,
but they could have
green women.
Yeah, banging green women. They did keep the Kobayashi Maru in, which I think was definitely serving to the fans. Yeah. And it was cool that, like, even though it was a different reality, the character that was so ingrained in him that he would do that in any reality.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which, you know, that's from Star Trek.
And, you know, I appreciated that they didn't... The one person that it bothered me at first, but he seemed to let go of it later on in the movie, was Carl Urban doing McCoy.
Yeah.
At first, he was talking so hard like him, it was like he was really trying hard to do Christian Slater doing Jack Nicholson. That was what... That seemed like that's what his voice... goal was.
In terms of like...
When you first see him on the dropship, like, that's how hard he was trying to imitate the boy's voice.
It's true. But, what the fuck?
Harold didn't do Sulu on... Like, no. He didn't do that. Uhura didn't do...
No.
Anything like that. You know, and Kirk's mannerisms, at times he did some things like that when he would say something and quickly say something else turning to someone else. But they didn't, you know, they didn't copy that. The only person really is, you know, the Zachary Quinto really looks like...
Yeah, he looks like him a lot.
Looks like him when he was younger.
And all you have to do is act with no emotion. So it's
pretty easy.
He kind of felt like Siler still, though. Because Siler gets that
emotion. He's basically, Siler.
I kept waiting for him to, like, take his finger and cut somebody's head off. But
seriously.
I thought the characters were, for the most part, they were good. They worked. I thought Kirk worked. That was the biggest thing.
Kirk works because he's mostly bluster and bravado. And it seems like that kind of wins out for him over other things.
But it worked... For a new person to portray that, like, right. You know, there was a little bit of the Shatnerness in it, I think.
Yeah. And the Shatnerness is just extreme arrogance. That's all the Shatner
personality is. Yeah, but there's a delivery and there's an approach to it, and I think that they kind of had that for a little bit. There wasn't a lot of the chemistry between Spock and Kirk that you get in all the other movies.
Well, that's because in all the other things, Spock is completely bend over backwards, like, kowtowing to him the whole time.
That's part
and in
of
this
it,
case, yeah. That they make Spock very much more forceful and... emotionally involved with things than he ever was before. Anytime Spock was involved, usually
I thought that was a mistake in the trailer, though, when they showed like Spock losing it in the trailer. Right. I thought, like, why are you going to do that and give that whole because that could, it's probably a pretty big
butts in the seats, man.
You get that with blowing up stuff.
Like, oh shit!
here we go.
Something's
again.
Going down in Star Trek land.
Yeah,
here we go.
I like Bruce Greenwood. He was good as the captain.
I wish it had been Lee Greenwood. Or Lee, whatever. The guy who sings that he's proud to be an American.
That's Lee Greenwood.
Nice. Greenwood. Or at least he knows he's free.
And he strokes it to the left, and he strokes it to the left. I only know that because of David Cross.
I think that's the only reason I know it, too.
Oh, my
Toby Tritt Greenwood.
Toby Tritt Greenwood.
Bruce Greenwood. They probably could have got a better actor than him.
You think?
Well, he's kind of a character actor.
I don't know. I think he did all
right. They could have gotten Dennis Quaid.
He was too busy. I think at the time he was too busy probably doing promotion for G.I. Joe. It's really awesome, by the way. You see the trailer for G.I. Joe?
He missed it. He missed the first 20 minutes.
He says you don't think it looks awesome.
It looks terrible.
I think it looks awesome.
Are you serious?
Yes.
They didn't even show Cobra Commander.
What about that last shot they show where the guys in the awesome robot space suits are jumping over missiles and they're blowing up cars repeatedly in slow motion? Oh
they
my
give
gosh.
Him, I like how they capitalize on Transformers, which they showed in the next one, at the same right next to it. They're like, oh, here, G.I. Joe, which is all about like guys being like tough guys and like characters.
Tough guys.
We're gonna all make you generic by having you wear these Transformer robot suits.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
No, and they're like, Iron Men's.
Well, it's Transformers and Iron Man and all that stuff thrown together.
Well, truthfully, I think they did the right thing there because. Think about how stupid X-Men would have been if they wore their gay pride suits.
I'm not saying that.
G.I. Joe, they look like a bunch of
they look like the village people all the time.
Shipwreck
is awesome.
Gung Ho and like all those guys. Gung
and
Ho,
Roadblock.
I love how each one of them
is named after something that's like oxymoronic to their specialty.
They want to sell toys that kids will buy.
I know
they'll look cool and.
I guess kids want the generic looking toys. Yeah,
there was racism in Star Trek too.
I guess there was.
No, I don't think there was at all.
It was all about coming together.
It was about unity and how people of all colors can unite to kill one race in particular.
That is fighting them, yeah. No, I thought...
Are we led to believe they were all that was left of the Romulans at all? Because they kept saying something like that, like they were the remainder of the race.
They were...
In which case, partially. They took great glee in completely eliminating them. When he's like, we should offer them some help, right? And the guy's like, I'd rather die. And he's like, okay.
They said in the story that Romulus is still around.
Remember when, yeah, and he said...
But in that alternate timeline and all that other stuff.
So, yeah.
There was an evacuation. It was the same as the thing that happened to Vulcan in their timeline.
There was a few. But they're like separatists.
Who knows?
They're just rebels.
So in the other world, Vulcan still exists.
Yeah.
And in this world, Romulus still exists.
Yeah, and it's gonna...
Do you think Remus still exists?
Remus?
Romulus? The wolf? That old bullshit.
Roman history, man?
Yeah, what the
Where
fuck?
Were you? Where'd you go to school?
I didn't get in on that one.
The twins, man. Oh, raised by a wolf, suckled at her...
That's right.
At her teats.
My issue with the film is that it, I think it tries too hard to, like, have stuff happen, like, every 2 minutes. It's that screenwriter thing. And it's like, there were a few things that they just didn't need, and it felt like it was overblown.
Like when he got stranded on that planet, and there was, like, a monster.
Yeah,
and like,
monster chasing after him just seemed useless. And then the, like, Scotty stuck in the water tube seemed kind of, like, useless, too. It's like, you just gotta keep things happening.
It was
kind of
stupid. It was so funny.
Well, it wasn't really funny, and it was just kind of, like... Take a deep breath. Come on, you got enough good action that's motivated by some kind of plot here. So that I had problems with to a degree. It just felt like they were trying too hard. It felt very TV too. That whole group of guys are pretty much the guys that started, Damon Lindelof and J.J. Abrams and all those guys kind of started with Alias working on projects together. And the guy they have do their music for all that. Like, I don't know if you've seen. Have you seen Lost?
I haven't watched Lost.
But it's the same music, and the first scene where they're intercutting between like his mom giving birth to him, Kirk's mom giving birth to him, and his dad like fighting the ship, and it's got that really overblown orchestral stuff that seems very inappropriate for a Star Trek movie.
Right.
It felt just like something out of Lost.
Interesting.
So there were a few moments where it just seemed clear like these guys are like TV guys that have kind of graduated up to doing big league stuff,
movies.
But they still keep some of the TV stuff. And one thing I noticed that I had a problem with that I'm noticing more is blatant ADR work, which is where they add dialogue after the fact. And in the scene at the end when he relieves Pike, Admiral Pike, to get command of the Enterprise, and they cut to a close-up of their handshake, and in the voiceover, it's like, your dad would have been proud. That, to me, felt like TV ADR. It sounded like it, too. I can hear it pretty obviously now. There's a little weirdness to it. I don't know if you've watched any shows before or something. When someone turns their back to the camera or something, it's like, oh, they decided they needed to add, like, a little bit of exposition and they could right there. Like, you know, come on, we gotta go, otherwise they won't catch us or something, you know? And
that's weird.
Yeah, it's kind of TV stuff. And it's sort of nitpicky and Other than that, I mean, I thought it was fun. It was pretty straightforward. I wouldn't say I'm necessarily disappointed with it. Yeah. I'd give it a 3.5 out of 5.
Nice.
You know, you missed the beginning, which had some pretty good action and kind of set some stuff up. You got in on it right when they were dealing with Spock just at the beginning. So you didn't miss too much.
I missed like 10 minutes.
Was it only 10? God, it felt like a lot. Yeah. And, so,
it was a lifetime for some.
It was a lifetime for Spock, yeah.
I need to just start doing that in general. I'm glad that's my treat.
Yeah, exactly. You'd be watching movies alone if you're doing that.
And my hands will be warmer besides, so it's win-win.
You know, all you have to do to keep your hands warm.
That's what he's saying.
Stick them in my ass crack.
Yeah, that too.
Rub them together.
Like in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Oh, when they're in the car?
When they're in bed and he's dreaming that he has his hand between two pillows.
The two pillows, yeah.
Then he's like, between two pillows.
I think
then they go, and they run around in circles screaming.
I think that'd be.
And then it ends with that really melodramatic music. And it's like.
And it's flashbacks where he pieces together that John Candy's wife is dead.
Oh, yeah.
Because he keeps saying, like.
So what grade would you give it?
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd give it a 3.
I could play in Trains and Automobiles.
Just for Kevin Bacon, for Christ's sake. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Haven't seen that in a while.
Bacon popped up, yeah.
Yeah, Bacon.
Yeah, I'd give it a 3.
What about Star Trek?
Star Trek, I'd give a 3.5.
That's same as me.
I think the entertainment value was high enough that it's forgivable how parts of it were very superficial.
Yeah, and parts of it were really flawed.
And I think now they've got, you know... The thing is, it's not like they were able to get much. Not like they had to get things out of the way because they very concisely and economically introduced characters and made them part of everything and all buddies together, pretty economically. So I think next time around, I don't know, hopefully they'll have a better story.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll see. I mean, it just depends. Like, I was just saying that it felt like they were, like, by superficial, do you think it was just, like, too obvious that it was trying to be, like, a big nothing but excitement?
No, I think work. It does. Here, I'll open it for you, bring it here. And then bring me a bib and your diaper and I'll change that.
Yeah, exactly.
This actually is, it's not broken?
No.
Oh, well,
okay, good. What I meant by that is, it seemed like they were actually padding the story with sequences that didn't need to be there. Like you were saying about the drainage pipe thing.
Oh, yeah. That was another, like, screenplay. They're looking at it like, oh, I don't know, it needs to have something happen every 5 minutes. And that was what him running from the alien was.
I didn't mind the running from the alien thing, because it gives a little bit of flavor, and it you know, I don't know, I didn't mind that as much, but I do see what you're saying with that part. It just seems like the rest of that, it definitely felt like they padded it. It really did, like when they looked at the final product of their plot and everything, they're like, you know what, this isn't long enough. Like that sort of thing. And that's weird for a movie like that.
Because
normally you'd be thinking that they'd be cutting stuff out of it. So I think since they were so economical with the characters, that they ended up kind of having to force themselves to come up with junk that was not so interesting for the action sequences for the most part.
And that's where I think it is a flaw to it, because they didn't need to pad it. They could have done more with Kirk if they felt they needed more time. You know what I mean? Like that's why that 3-year jump feels like.
I also think that
like,
you don't want to spend too much time in the first act like that. It's because this was already, its first act was already longer than most action movies.
Yeah, when Star Trek movies are weird like that, their first acts are usually pretty long. So, I mean, the act structure of a Star Trek movie. You can think about it too, because they had such a big action sequence in like the middle with the whole Vulcan thing. I mean, that's almost like what would be the climax of a normal movie. Because there's a sword fight and all kinds of crazy shit. And then the second one's kind of anticlimactic compared to it, if you think about it.
Well, the part when are you talking about the part when they go in the Romulan ship and shoot stuff up?
Yeah, well, when they use the little ship and then
sure.
Spock shoots.
It didn't seem like a climactic battle type deal.
No, it was.
It didn't seem that much. Yeah, the first part was. I think the first part was important. They could have come up with something better at the end. But if you think about like how act structure really should go in a big Hollywood blockbuster type thing, unfortunately, you have to look at something like the Lethal Weapon films, because they literally take no more than 15 minutes. To give you a first act, no more, maybe 10 in some cases. And then the bulk of your entire movie is the part that feels normal before there's always something at stake.
Yeah.
And then the end of that whole period, which in a Lethal Weapon movie's case is an hour and 15 minutes long, that's the second act for them. Then suddenly there's one more big twist everything around change that makes it like, well, we got to end this now. And the start, like you were just saying with Star Trek movies, it seems like they have almost equal segments of first, second, and third act, and it makes it seem like the middle of the movie almost doesn't matter.
Yeah, sometimes they do have longer. I think
but in this case, since it was all their first time doing stuff and them getting to know each other and them fighting, you get to see him fight for the first time, and then they do their sword fight on the thing, which is kind of cool.
Yeah,
that that all kind of felt like an extended first act.
Dude, remember really when his sword like he pulled it out and it was like,
that was cool.
It was awesome.
I think they could have cut out the part with him as a kid, with Kirk as a kid. I mean that worked as a trailer kind of thing, but they've done that before where they shoot stuff that they just use for trailers. And I didn't actually think it was going to be in the movie, and I feel like it didn't need to either, because then they go like Kirk's born.
It didn't feel totally necessary.
Kirk's a kid.
I kind of think you should have seen something. I think it was to indicate that
he was rebellious. And
not just that,
time.
But you get to see that at that point. And then later on when you see him, he's just a drunk. So that doesn't show any rebellion. It's just that he's a drunk. So I think you kind of have to establish that that's just in his nature without him being a 25-year-old.
How exactly
drunk
is
also.
He a drunk? Because he's in a bar?
Well, because that's all you get at that age is him obviously
in
knowing his way around liquor in a bar. And he's drunk. You know, and
well,
he's drunk.
They kind of convey
that. He does drink finally after he gets the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah. Well, and he was slurring his words and stuff. He was meant to be drunk.
He was drunk when you first see him in a bar. Because he leans over and he tries to get Uhura. He tries to pick up on Uhura, and he's all kind of slurry. And then he gets in the fight.
I pick up on the floor.
Yeah, I did like that they did the turnaround thing where they had the relationship.
I liked that too. I actually thought that was pretty clever.
It was clever, but it was actually like it made made it its own thing for
totally
that
did.
Star Trek universe.
Totally did.
And
absolutely.
Gave
that,
Spock
was kind
that kind
of
weird like admittance of being
sure,
human.
And it makes him way more human. Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Their most successful thing in this was very much humanizing Spock, and I'm not sure if that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think they still kept that.
Because if he's fiery and Kirk's fiery, then
yeah,
how do they play off each other?
Exactly.
Except for they're both pissed at each other. All the time,
I mean,
you know? Like, they can't really be buddies if they're pissed at each
like,
other.
Like, we're just buddies because your older Spock self
They did kind of fail on the Bones-Spock interaction, where they kind of were on the same page for most of this
yeah.
movie.
Yeah, no, I thought he stood up to him. I liked, you know, the Bones interaction is good if anyone, because he's always just kind of grumpy and pissed
yeah,
off,
yeah.
So that's always good.
And I thought, like you said, at the beginning, he does feel like he's kind of parodying the DeForest Kelly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, part of that could be that isn't he English, Carl Urban?
No.
He's not?
No.
I thought he was British.
No.
Okay, we'll forget that. Anyway, I think he was trying to really do that Iowa accent or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I thought he did all right with it. And then, I'd completely forgot about Scotty until they finally just sort of bring him in.
Right.
And the way they brought him in, I thought was kind of cool and different too, you know?
Yeah, you know, you bring someone in for Offworld, that way you don't have continual, you know, I thought that,
they weren't all coincidentally on the same ship at the same time kind of thing?
You know who I liked a lot more than I thought it would was Anton Yelchin as Chekhov, because he's very, I don't know, he's just likable, the actor is.
Yeah, he can
and,
be.
And when I heard that they had cast him as it, I was like, that's ridiculous, dude. He looks like he's 12. It's just not going to work.
And then they played that, too.
They totally
like,
did,
how
yeah.
old are you? He's like 17?
17, yeah.
I liked how, like, he like, saved their ass, like, three times.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I don't think, because usually Chekhov was, like, the one character that kind of never had anything
that
big happen.
Well, he had to do the Scotty thing earlier on when they didn't have Scotty.
Exactly.
I like how Scotty goes, he kept kind of bumping his own chest when he was like, oh, I've never done that. Three targets from two areas to
yeah.
one location. And then they kind of just walk away, and he's like, seriously, did you see what I just...
Yeah.
They just can't keep going.
They're playing the Simon Pegg kind
yeah.
of angle of it.
Right.
It's just like, oh, that was cool, right? And I'm like, no, okay. But I kept waiting for them to create some kind of video game reference for why Chekhov could do that. Like, you know, like it was
yeah,
Space
thought
Invaders
too.
Or something
that too,
like that.
Yeah. Except for the year being 22-something, then he wouldn't
know Space Invaders.
Yeah, he would
but
have played
Kirk, Kirk would be
more
familiar with the Beastie Boys' Ill Communication, for sure.
Yeah, right.
Which
classic,
is another reason why
music,
another reason why they totally couldn't have shit canned
that. Was off of Paul's Boutique.
Really?
Sabotage, that was on Ill Communications.
That was on Ill Communications.
It was in, what was Ill Communications, the first one or the second one?
Album?
Yeah, the first one was Licensed Ill. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But I also like that they kept in the one time, well, it actually happens twice in that song, but the F word. And they kept that in, the actual lyrics of the song. So maybe that's why it was PG-13.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And then the only time they actually swore in the entire movie was when Kirk said bullshit, when he said,
yeah.
I'm Spock or something
yeah.
like that. And Leonard Nimoy showed up, director of such films as Three Men and a Baby.
Yeah, right.
And Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home.
Uh-huh. Leonard Nimoy directed...
Three Men and a Baby?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No shit.
Boys
oh, yeah.
will be boys. Bad boys, bad boys. Remember?
Yeah.
And then they're painting the place, and they do the thing where they're all like that. It was the cell man and the...
Is that
and
the end?
No, it was at the beginning.
Was it the beginning?
Yeah.
Oh, you...
Did he direct Three Men and a Little Lady also?
I don't know. I've always wondered that. It
I
might
think,
have been Frank
you know
Oz.
I think it was actually Gutenberg.
Gutenberg.
I think one of the actors directed it. I could be totally wrong, and I probably am, but I want to say... I just want
Didn't
to say.
Did Ted Danson do some directing?
Oh, maybe it was him.
I think he just directed some episodes of Becker.
Yeah, crappy old Becker. But yeah, I mean, I think I enjoyed it, and it had some good sequences and some fun shots and everything. And
yeah.
it didn't. They did a couple of things that I liked where they didn't keep it too super sci-fi. Like when they're at that little ice station and they
yeah.
open the door and it's got one of those like push doors.
Right.
It looked like something. Some warehouse.
The opening,
it
was like
now.
The opening to a hospital or something.
Yeah, it
like
looked
that.
Like
yeah.
a real place. That, and I'm like, wow, this is, it really kind of almost takes me out of the movie. But at the same time, it's kind of cool the way they had some of the stuff look like real places. Like the engine room and stuff. It,
right.
There was a bunch of pipes and shit. It wasn't all clean and sleek. I'm like, well, where does everything actually go?
It was pretty clean and sleek.
Well, yeah, but there were still pipes and...
That was probably... Some of the set pieces, I thought, were kind of shitty.
I thought actually it looked much much more industrial than.
Well, that's what I mean.
The, yeah, that's I agree with you on that. I think.
What didn't you like? You didn't like that it was.
I
have no frame of reference, but it seemed kind of ridiculous. The technology, it's like you're looking, it looks like you're in a freaking, like, sewage treatment plant. This is how many years in the future? It's like, what the fuck?
Well, fundamental things are fundamental things. You don't have, like, a water cooling system. The fundamental things
go warp speed.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know.
They have a little like water wheel that runs the whole ship. No, it really looked like they had. I think that was maybe for a nuclear reactor or something.
If somebody in a military outfit found out how to successfully warp things very long distances, but yet accidentally warped the admiral's favorite dog somewhere, do you think they would kick him? The guy who was the inventor of this brand new thing that would save their, you know,
they didn't have any proof that he didn't just kill the dog. See, because they never found the dog.
Who cares what he did to the dog?
They don't know. And it sounded like it was internal politics with the other.
Well,
guy,
no, it's
the
just
the
a
guy
great, great little story because anybody in their right mind would not do that.
Do which part?
Well, Scotty would
send
do
a fucking plant for Christ's sake. I mean,
what
Jesus Christ.
No, the reason they did
that's
that.
That's what slaves are for. That's what prisoners are for. You freaking.
Well, they don't have
yeah,
those.
What
Star
if you
Trek.
Give them magical powers along the way?
But the
give
reason,
them powers
the reason
by,
they even brought that up is if you're listening carefully, they said Admiral Archer's favorite beagle.
Yeah.
And Captain Archer is our buddy Bakula from Enterprise. It's the same guy.
Oh, gosh.
They're connecting it to Enterprise.
All I heard
too.
Was that, that somebody got a slusho mix in the bar.
Slusho.
It's the J.J. Abrams thing. It's in all his movies. It's referenced in every TV show or movie he's done.
Good for
he's
him.
He's done an ad for it, yeah.
Slusho mix.
It's a drink on in his world.
In the Abrams-verse.
The Abrams-verse, yeah.
Which now includes all of Star Trek,
J.J. Abrams, that sounds like an author.
Maybe he does it that way because he likes to sound like he's
maybe he's just making people think he's a girl and he's actually a woman like J.K. Rowling. Maybe J.J. Abrams is actually
Jeanette
Joyce Abrams and doesn't want people
to know.
Be upset about that.
No, I didn't want him to know.
Have you ever seen a picture of J.J. Abrams?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I was trying to play with that. And
sorry.
Hopefully say no.
No.
No tits?
No, I might have some tits by now. I don't know if you gained a little weight.
Who knows?
Abrams is able to make things look, Mission Impossible 3 is a forgettable film. But
that's a love mission.
When I
don't
saw
love it, I just thought it was better than the second one. Yeah,
I was at the time blown away by the action sequences. Like the guy knows how to put together a spectacle is what he knows how to.
He's like the next Spielberg.
Nah, Spielberg knows how to tug at the heartstrings.
Well, that's true. He hasn't gotten to that level yet.
Abrams,
I mean, he's
got to make you cry.
They've got the Giancano guy.
Definitely didn't tug on anything.
Tugging on my scrotum.
There you go.
They got the Giancano guy doing all their music. It's the problem, and it's just a little too overtly like.
Having not
stringy.
Watched much Lost, I didn't get that.
But just
not
that
watched any Lost.
I didn't think that.
But this guy over here showing up late and getting in my way, and now he's being a dick.
He walked right in front of you right as they showed tits.
And they were showing tits.
They were showing tits.
Apparently.
The second you walked in front of Ian, there was two big heaving bosoms.
They were green. They were green
bosoms. That lady didn't look fake at all.
That was later. I was there for that. For the green bosoms.
What planet does she come from?
Yeah,
the only physiological difference is that she's green.
I was trying to figure that out because, I mean, was that just sort of like a play on Wicked?
I think it was a play on the fact that during the old show, there were some of the most retarded looking aliens ever made.
Yeah, and the whole idea of him making. The whole idea of Kirk making out with a green chick is like a big thing.
It's a big thing,
yeah,
it totally is. Yeah.
Do you guys. Oh, never mind.
Okay. Fair enough. What?
Huh?
But there would be no sequel, no return customers.
Oh, right. Because she's a whore.
Probably.
I don't know what you're talking about. Ahura?
Yeah.
Ahua.
They made her a bigger character in this, too. She seemed like the most sort of mature, like, on-the-ball member of the like, crew for a while there.
Yeah, she was glue that helped.
Sulu was kind of, like, inept for a second, and then all of a sudden he was like, I'm on it. And, like, he's like,
well,
okay,
he was just so psyched that he forgot to do something.
It was the parking brake. The guy makes a joke, and then he's like, but he's actually being serious. Yeah. He's like, as a joke, he's saying, well, did you just leave the parking brake on, you know? Right. And it's like, ha-ha.
Don't you think if
joke.
You cranked something that was a warp drive that hard when the parking brake was on, the ship would just kind of explode?
It would be
like, they've got some
fail-safe
in there,
so it just goes,
depends on the kind of brake. I mean, there are brakes that essentially disengage the drive system.
But what does the inertial dampeners do to the warp drive?
I don't fucking know.
Okay, well, there we go then. I think we've solved that.
I'm just saying that...
Yeah, there are...
Well, what
the
hell do you know? I mean, yeah, you weigh it all out?
Yeah, I'm going to say that it was a failsafe. Like you said, it probably
could... It made a noise like you just broke the ship.
Yeah.
You know? Like, what if the movie ended right there because the captain just freaks out and is like, you know what, damn it, you just ruined this whole mission.
Yeah, you know what, I'm going to my room.
I think I'll get my $6 back.
Now we can't have a Star Trek adventure. Then it's like, thank you for
watching. No, but they do it like right after that 20 minutes or whatever, so you just couldn't get your money back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 20 minutes.
That's the 20-minute rule. No, and then, 21 minutes. I'd be curious to know who the chief engineer on the Enterprise was before Scotty showed up and decided he was going to take over and do everything.
He got canned for Scotty.
He's like, what? What did I do, dude?
Yeah. Well, no, it was a woman, remember? That's why.
Did she die?
No, she wasn't able to lock anyone, and then Chekhov had to run and do it.
Well, that was the transporter.
Right. What was Scotty doing there, then?
He's the chief engineer, but they had him run transporter to give more face time.
On the show?
They would do that.
He always did that.
They would do that on the show for the same reason, probably, but it kind of doesn't make sense if you really think about it. They don't always have, like, a transporter.
Did Geordi LaForge run a transporter on the...
A few times, but not as much.
The new Enterprise?
Because they would always use that to just have whoever was, like, their third string person. You know, they had Wesley Crusher do it or someone half the time. You know, well, we haven't seen enough of so-and-so. Let's make them the transporter. Or they had Colm Meaney, you know, Chief O'Brien for a while. Yeah. And then he moved to DS9,
right, where he was a bartender.
No, he wasn't the bartender.
What did he do?
He was the chief engineer of the station.
I think he was the bartender.
No, that was Quark.
Before Quark.
There was no before Quark. Quark was there the whole time.
Where was Whoopi the bartender?
Whoopi was the bartender on D.
Next Generation.
Yeah, on 1701D.
I don't know what that means.
That's the big fat whale.
You're such
a
nerd if you know that.
I do.
With the whale of a ship.
The ship looks stupid in the series.
It was.
Next Generation. Yeah.
Next Generation ship looks way better than the stupid original one.
The original one had a satellite dish and that was gay, but then when they upgraded it for the movies, it looked sleek
and
cool.
It looks stupid.
But the original
got sticks and
the Next Generation ship was cooler.
Thank you.
It looks like a whale.
It looks better.
You can't fight with a ship like
better.
That. It's like you can't
fight with any ship.
It's a pleasure
cruise. Look, the Enterprise always, the old one, has like these two things
nacelles, yeah.
Sticking up like this. Oh, you think all the bad guys would have to do is shoot one of those off, and then the whole thing would just kind of like barrel off into nowhere.
Yeah. And they do shoot them off in some of them. It happened before. But they're heavily shielded and so on and so forth.
Well, it was a fun movie to watch, kind of.
I think it was. I think it was worth seeing on the big screen, probably.
It
would definitely was trying a little too hard. Like you said, it was superficial.
You know,
it was padded. And
you
places.
Know what's?
But I think all of Abrams' stuff kind of
misleading about rating sites. Now, this is specifically
internet stuff.
No, like Rotten Tomatoes, for instance.
Yeah, that was when Blaine was saying it was really high. Like,
oh,
higher,
it's
higher than
94%.
Isn't that higher than Dark Knight?
But listen, this is the reason why. They just count if it's a positive or negative review. That's it. So if 75% of those people who liked it were like, yeah, it was pretty good,
then it gets a plus. Oh.
So seriously, so
it's up or down? It's a binary thing.
It's a binary.
I getcha.
The AV Club just said something about ratings recently. Where we're talking about. I told you about the guy who complained that Crank got an A-.
Yeah, exactly. No, that logic behind rating is still.
But what they said, what the interesting thing the guy said was. You read the whole three-paragraph thing built up of 500 words, and you waited until the letter grade to figure out whether or not it's something you would want to see? He said that. Like, he's like, the grade is there at the end so that because people ask for a grade. No matter what you said, they want to know what you gave it.
That's true.
Even as though they can't infer that from what you just said. So he's like, the grade is there for you.
It's a quantitative versus a qualitative.
If you're going to read the review, you should know whether or not you want to see it. After reading the words, that's what the guy was basically saying.
Yeah.
You know? So that's kind of the trouble with Rotten Tomatoes and stuff. Of course, also that way if you read 1,000 reviews for a movie before it comes out, I mean, eventually you're gonna piece together each one critic will give away a little bit. Next critic will give away a little bit.
You're
gonna
see a lot of plot.
Eventually, you're gonna see a lot of plot. Exactly. So you kind of have to guard yourself from that. That's why. If I'm going to check to see if something's getting good or not, I'll just see what the score is, like Blaine does. Do you read a lot of those reviews, Blaine? Or you just check the score?
I read, like how when you scroll down on the main movie site?
Yeah.
Like, it shows, like...
The blurbs, kids. Yeah.
I read
those sometimes, so.
Yeah. But I don't, like, read full reviews. All
right. Yeah, I'm with you. I read full reviews on a couple of sites, and otherwise I just kind of stick to whether
stick
or not
it's
good.
Whether it was good or not, huh? No, I get you. I think, don't know. I really was looking forward to this one, so I feel kind of disappointed that it wasn't as. But I didn't expect it to be super.
It gave me pretty much exactly what I expected from it, except I hoped for a more threatening bad guy. It wasn't threatening enough.
Yeah, that's common for Star Trek too. And it starts getting, it inevitably gets bogged down in its technology, and in, they've got so many hand-waving things that they can just use as plot devices if they want to or not. Like, they could have come up with another excuse for the transporters not to work, but they didn't, you know, at the end when they managed to save everybody at the last second or whatever they're trying to do. And so it kind of, I don't know, it kind of,
Well, one thing about the final plan, another thing too, the plan he was saying had a 4.whatever% chance of working.
4.3% chance, yeah.
Ridiculous that you know what point it was.
I just remember that he said it.
The dumb thing was, turns out the plan was that Kirk just runs around and fights with people until he gets the captain.
Yeah.
And then they are able to get to a place where they're going to be transported. And meanwhile, Spock is flying around in this thing and having... Like, it seemed like part of the plan was... that the ship was going to shoot all their weapons at him. Because the computer tells him as he's flying the ship, there's tons of weapons coming toward you. And he goes, I know. Like, no big deal. We could act it out?
Yeah, that would be good.
But he goes, but you know, he's like, I know. I get it. I know there's torpedoes coming toward me. You know, shut up to the computer. And then magically... the Enterprise that wasn't part of their plan and didn't know their plan.
But the warping?
Warps in and shoots all the torpedoes before it gets to him, and he doesn't bat an eye like that was the plan. So maybe I missed that the plan was shared with the entire Enterprise, that they were supposed to appear at that moment, which hinged on the fact that he could have gotten the thing off the ship by a certain time.
Well, they didn't know that he was going to warp in the first... I think it might have just been inferred that you would follow. Well, yeah, so...
The climactic thing was totally contrived.
Well, yeah, but that's how all that sci-fi shit is. It gets super dense with that stuff.
Dark City wasn't contrived.
Okay, then. Well, we can leave it with that, then.
I was actually the book Wicked.
The one about Red.
Yeah. There's this just really intense love scene with the main character,
mm-hmm.
Alfalfa, mm-hmm. And this prince guy. That's a weird ass name. But anyway, and she's like totally green and is describing her body.
Her subtle green naked body.
Yep.
It'd be kind of hot, I guess.
It would be different. Come together.
Indeed.
Better hope they did. For a successful intercourse.
There'd be no sequel.